At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So much so did Jesus understand this when on the cross he's dying. Now he's the oldest, right? So according to Hebrew culture, he's the one that's supposed to take care of mama. Everybody believes Joseph's dead at this point, gone. Take care of mom. On the cross, listen to me, he so wants to honor his mother that he doesn't say, don't worry about it, I'll get out of the grave in 3 days and I'll take care of it. No, no. He looks at John and says, John, now this is your mama. Mama, this is your boy. Take care of her. On the cross. Well, he's dying for my sin, your sin, where he's doing the whole cosmic atonement, where he's changing the world as we know it. Says, wait a minute. I'm going to honor my mother because I want her to know she's still taken care of. See, she wasn't too sure the boy was getting out of the grave. Now, the Bible says that she pondered this in her heart. He's making sure. And why he's making sure and taking care of what's up. In Jesus' words, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's talking about them being hypocrites because they would take this money and they give it in an offering at church, but they didn't take care of their mama. You read it, okay? In Matthew 17, he says, you hypocrites, you invalidate the word of God because you give offerings but don't take care of mama. Uh-oh. I sure hope I don't invalidate the word of God. It's hypocritical to claim to yourself a wonderful Christian with family values and don't take care of mama. Don't give her honor. How does God feel, I guess if that's the word I'll put, about those who disobey their parents? In Proverbs 20 and 20, it tells us, he who curses, okay, you bring curse upon him, you can read it in the other places, by rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of, right? Well, anyway. Okay. Who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. You ready? Here's what I said. Dishonor your mama, and one of these days you'll be crying, going, Mom, and nobody's coming. In your time of despair, in your time of, how many of you have seen the war movie? Okay, whether it's old or new, and the guy's wounded and dying, he wants his mama. If you dishonor your parents, those hours of darkness are going to be lonely places. God makes that as a promise. Oh, but my mom's going to love me. I understand. But those hours of darkness are going to be awful lonely without her. And as we read in Samuel chapter 15, in the idea of authority and being obedient to that authority, God speaks to Samuel. Samuel goes to King Saul. Now, he's king after all. He's king. You know, that guy's just Samuel. And tells him, when you go attack these people, you kill everybody and everything. Right? Now, Saul gets religious, or like the Pharisees, and makes all these sacrifices and kills. And then Samuel shows up and he says, why do I hear the bleeding of sheep? I obeyed. No, I did. No, he just kept a few things out. He obeyed mostly. And that's where that famous phrase, God desires, prefers obedience over sacrifice. Now, I want you to think about that young person, child. God prefers you to obey
than bring some offering to church. He'd prefer that you obey than have your evening prayers. Because you got to recognize when you obey, you're recognizing that person as God's delegated authority, your mother as an instrument of God. When she sends you to your room unjustly, she's an instrument of God. See, David knew this. He is treating me unjustly. He is in the wrong, but I ain't touching him. I'm not. David doesn't ever say anything against Saul. He doesn't go to his room and mumble under his breath. He understood that principle. So did Peter, so did Paul, so did Jesus. It's that obedience that matters. That's how we honor God's authority in those people. When you can't submit to authority, you know what it is? It's a lack of faith. That's what it is. You don't believe God knew what he was doing when he gave you those parents. Now, let's get off that a little bit. You don't think God knew what he was doing when he gave you your boss. See? No. My faith is in God's sovereign rule over all things, all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives them to he will. That means that parent that you think, that mother you think is treating you unfair. No. God gave you, I'll put it this way, you didn't choose your mama. God designed that you be born to that woman. Therefore, you are supposed to be under her authority. That means when she treats you unjustly, let me put it this way, all things work for the good of those who love him, called according to purpose. You know what? That's good for you. If you trust God's scripture, when mom unjustly sends you to your room, takes the car keys, says you can't go here, that's the goodness of God. If you believe you're called according to his purpose, you understand that. And this is what David's declaring. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I understand. God put you in charge, so I'm going to let God take care of you. And I'm going to submit. And I feel guilty for just cutting your rope. Now, honoring mom, I understand, in our culture can be difficult. Some things have changed. Back in the day, both mothers and sons, daughters and sons, spent all their time with mom and dad. Dad, what? In Jesus' case, dad was a carpenter. Jesus comes along about the time 12, 13 years old, starts working alongside dad, right? Takes him a couple decades probably to get the skill dad has if he ever gets there. Maybe surpass dad, but by the time dad's old, he ain't working anyway. Okay? But you spent all those years learning that skill next to dad. But the same was true of a daughter. She spent all of her time with mom preparing to have her own family. Now I'm going to mess it a little bit. My daughter, people ask her, she's 21, what are you doing? You going to college? You going off and taking this job? No, I'm not saying going off to college is bad or taking this job is bad. But see, for her, she understands what she's called to be to do. She wants to be a mother and a wife. She wants to be just a mom. It's a video. You ought to see the look we get. Oh. Well, let me tell you, if you were going to be an accountant, would you go to college and learn how to be one? Male or female, it's all right. Yeah. Where in the world are you going to learn to be a mom? From mom. So, and I'm not putting down anybody else. You might have a calling to do those things. God might be speaking to you about those things. I'm just talking about my daughter, where we are. You got that? I'm not putting anything on you. I'm telling where we are. But you should see the look we get. Oh, I thought you were going to do something significant. That's the look you get, isn't it, Boo? Sorry, I call her Boo. All right? That's the look you get. There is nothing more significant than being a mother. Nothing. But, so times have changed. It's not that way. We send ourselves to kids to ungodly schools where by the time they're in high school, the last survey I read, and it's been some years, the average high school student spends 10 hours a day in the public school system, on the bus, at basketball, volleyball practice, whatever it is, this kind of, 10 hours, how much does that leave for mom? You're not spending all that time, I'll call it, in the apprentice program, if you will, with your parents. You're not doing that. Now, in those first few years, you know, before you go to kindergarten, but nowadays, 3 months old, I want stuff. I know I'm offending people here. I want stuff. So here, they'll even give their baby to a stranger that they've searched on the internet to see how good of a rating they have. Because we've decided stuff. I know I'm going to get ugly emails for that. So even now, there's less time spent with them. Then you have the whole disease of divorce in our culture. If you've been divorced, don't send me a letter. Malachi tells me God hates divorce. So you can say all you want, God still hates it. God hates sin. Does he forgive? Yes. Okay, that's enough of that. But in a divorce culture, mom and dad split. Typically, somebody starts bad-mouthing the other parent. It is hard for a child to honor dad when mom's bad-mouthing him. It is hard for a child to honor mom when dad speaks down over... Never mind, he doesn't speak. They just post it. All right? It is hard for a child to honor a parent when that happens. Then you get remarried after you bash in their mother, and you wonder why they won't listen to your new wife. Because you've taught them that woman you married doesn't deserve honor. Oh, I'm gonna get in trouble. I know that. Okay? Then you have this whole Freudian psychology crud that you blame everything on mom or dad. This idea that I'm messed up and I shoot people in public schools because my mom or my dad didn't treat me right. Or whatever it is. It makes it hard to honor parents in that kind of everybody's a victim. Okay? Mentality. And then I thought of this one. I was reading some stuff, and it really made me ponder. The idea of technology. In our culture today, technology, understanding of technology, has a greater value than good old common sense, than wisdom. So mom, who can't run that phone you do, young person, she has to ask for your help. In our culture, because you value, that's more important than mom's experience, than mom's wisdom. So we tend to look at the neck, that generation who can't click this and do that and connect this. Well, they don't know anything. I'm telling you now, technology is not going to help you when you're homeless. Technology like that, you'll think it'll get you a job. I know that. But if you ain't learned how to deal with people properly that mom would teach you, you'll lose that job in a hurry. When you're sick, when the bad things happen, let's think about it. You got the flu this last year. Aren't you glad you had your phone? Aren't you glad you could connect that to the Bluetooth? Or did you want mom? I just want you to understand, true wisdom does not come from technology. True knowledge does not come from Facebook or your newsfeed. It really doesn't. Proverbs 1:1, right at the beginning of the book of wisdom, verses 7 and 9. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's also scripture says the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yeah, we buy that. Would you please look at the next line? He's talking about wisdom. Your fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. A fool despises knowledge and wisdom. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. What's the context? Yeah. He's putting the fear of God, the wisdom, in the context of who your mommy and daddy are. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Let me put it this way. That's how you're going to win. That's how you're going to gain, is listening to that wisdom, that instruction. By the way, on the dad's side, that word's the idea of discipline. Dads, you know what that means? Yeah, you need to be disciplined. Okay, don't sit on a couch. Anyway, all right? He puts that context of the fear of God and a desire for wisdom. Fool, wait a minute. A fool despises the wisdom and instruction. Here's what I gave you for wisdom and instruction. Dad and mom, when you despise their wisdom, you're a fool. Now, spanking the children a little bit, I'm going to go to the moms. Can we do that? Moms. Teach your children the word. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy and says, I am mindful of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. Then it goes on. We get a little later into verse 14. Continue in the things which you have learned. From who? Mom. And have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Mamas, teach the sacred writings from their infancy. Second, mamas, display, show, demonstrate respect for your husband or your child's father. And again, go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, when there's at the top of that and at the end of that, it speaks of this idea about respecting and honoring the husband, the father of your children. In Proverbs 31, we all know that, right? Every Mother's Day, somebody preaches on Proverbs 31, yes. Godly woman. Well, here's one of the things it says in verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trust her. That means when he's not home, he can trust what you're saying. He could trust when you're doing, okay, when he's not near you. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. It never addresses whether Saul's a good king or not. I think you understand the connection. It also tells us this. It speaks, ladies, be worried about, in our culture, be worried about inner beauty. In our culture, as a woman, they tell you you don't have value unless you're sexy, unless you're young woman, look at me. That is a lie from Satan. Amen. Young ladies, listen to me. There used to be a day if you walked into a room, every man would stand. If you came to a door, he'd open it for you. He'd change the way he'd talk. He'd change the way he'd behave because you walked in the room. The devil has told you a lie that if you can be like a man, he'll respect you more. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Okay? When man looks at you, he wants to see what God took out of Adam. He doesn't want to see what God left in Adam. He's got that. He wants to see what God took out of him and made in this amazing thing called woman. And for this reason, when he looks at her and sees the thing God took out, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Remember, ladies, it's an inner beauty that draws the man. If you draw him by outer beauty, you will regret it. Because he'll treat you like a car, a boat, or a gun, a thing he thinks is beautiful. Again, back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Your adornment ought to be not merely external, with braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and the putting on of fine clothes, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Ladies, we've all seen it in the movie where the girl finally finds the guy who loves her for who she is. And every woman wants to be loved for who she is. Then don't draw them from with what is out. Now, that doesn't mean you sit around and sweat and don't take a bath. All right, I don't mean that. But dads, listen to me for a minute. It is vital that you encourage and affirm your daughter's outward appearance. If you don't, she will look for that approval somewhere else. Just a word to fathers there. Verse 25 of 1 Peter 3 talks about this strength and dignity is supposed to be her clothing. Verse 30, it says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Charm, flirting, that only get you so far. Beauty is vain because you will grow old. And there will always be somebody prettier than you. One of the other things it says in Proverbs, or in, I think in James, maybe, no, it's Proverbs 31, 26. When this woman opens her mouth, you know what you hear? Wisdom. Not giggling, frivolous, but wisdom. And you hear the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I don't, maybe I'm of the wrong generation, but when I see the movie, where the woman goes around kicking, beating up people with their karate and their chop and all that. I'm not going, ooh, what a sweetheart. I'd like to marry that gal. I mean, I'm married, but you understand what I'm saying? No, there should be kindness expressed. In these old movies like that, you will find the women often are the hero through their gentle kindness. If you watch Leave It to Beaver, June Cleaver, oh, look at the wisdom out of that gentle and kindness, what she was able to do. Listen to me, ladies. A man will respond to that out of a true heart, not out of hormones. Ladies, remember to work hard. Again, in Proverbs, it tells us that she does not eat the bread of idleness. Come on, it's easy to be idle. I can do it. You can do it. No, we're not like on the idols you worship. I'm talking about sitting around on your duff, playing on your phone, staring at the idiot box, the TV, that kind of thing. Be careful of that. In our culture, we have more spare time than anybody in all of history. I don't have the time to. Yeah, but you still don't take 2 days to wash clothes by hand. I could take you places where they do. And Tim will tell you, it takes 3 days for it to dry. And then it says this in verse 30. Last one. But a woman, speaking about a godly woman, is one who fears the Lord. She shall be praised. She doesn't seek after the praise of men. She is fearful of God more than she's worried about what the other fellow says she looks like. But I want to stop for a minute because I'm going to be straight. There ain't a perfect mother in this room. And your kids may be grown. And you didn't do some of these things. And maybe, maybe your kids are run amok. I think you know what I mean by that. They're gone prodigal, however you want to look at it. Maybe you didn't honor your husband and it cost you in your old age. I don't know, but I want you to listen to this. When God chose to bring a Savior into the world, He used a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. You look in the lineage of Jesus Christ, you see the prostitute, and that's how she's labeled most of the time, Rahab. Who began to understand who God was. Okay, if you recall, Joshua sends two spies into Jericho. Remember the story? And the king here of Jericho hears the Israeli spies are among them. So they hide in a good place where you see a lot of men sneak in and out. A house of ill repute. Rahab hides these guys on the roof in flax. Lies. Did you hear that? I didn't say it was right. Lies. To the king's men, say they left via the gate. And then she sits down and says to the guys, hey guys, when you take over the city, because I know you're God, you will win. Please remember me and my family. Do you remember the sign that she had to put out her window? Yeah, she lowers the guys down by the same cord. You read it. If that scarlet cord is hanging out of your window, you and all the people in your household will be saved. Now hang on. When the Jews left Israel and began to wander in the wilderness, they forgot to practice Passover, which was putting scarlet on the doorpost of your house. Rahab finds that death passes over her because a scarlet cord hanging for her house, which the Jews weren't even doing at the time. That scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus Christ that took a prostitute and purified her in the eyes of God to bring her into the lineage who happened to be the mother of a guy named Boaz. Maybe you weren't what Rahab was. Maybe you weren't a mama who did it right. But God can use you as His instrument to bring about the salvation of others, because now in your life you recognize who God is and you were supposed to have been that instrument. You didn't know it then. You messed it up then. But if you can come, Rahab, under God's great grace, in other words, this, I don't care what you did, because when I give to you, it isn't because of what you do. If He gives to a pagan king what he gets, his kingdom, his victories, his riches, not because of who he is and what he's done. Imagine what he does for those who put their trust in him and recognize that they are an instrument of him. And he will give it freely to you by his grace. He doesn't give it to you how good a mama you've been. He does it by his grace, though that those around you may know.
that he is the Lord God. And I use capital L, capital O, capital R, the sacred name of God that you'll be able to display. So don't think the only way you do this is raising these perfect little kids, you know, who say their prayers every night and have memorized the Bible. That'd be great. That'd be great. But good luck with that. Maybe you're not. But either way, God can use you as his instrument for his glory. Let's stand. I want you to understand, Mother's Day is not about celebrating mothers. It's about thanking God for mothers. Today, as you leave this place and you go have Mother's Day lunch or whatever you do, love on Mama. Tell her you appreciate her. But maybe you might want to hold her hand and say a prayer, saying, God, I thank you for this gift of grace called Mom. Father, I thank you for your word. It is so truthful, Lord. I ask you to help us remember that authority in our life is an instrument, including Mom. God, help all the young people and the children who struggle, like all of us do, with submitting to your instruments, the authority, but particular to Mom. Help us to do that. God, Father, for the moms, I just pray that you speak to them and speak to them, Lord, about that responsibility you give them and how your word calls them to be. To the young ladies who maybe not be moms today, Lord, I ask that they would look in your scripture and find their value there in what you say is valuable, not in the world says is valuable. God, today, I want to thank you for the gift of my mom. I thank you for my wife, who is a great mom to her children. But God, I thank you that you redeem even the Rahabs and use them for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.